Fantastic time, and we just had a blast. Thanks, Lynette, and all the volunteers that participated in that and made it a special time. It was good. My middle son up here with the, I don't know if you noticed, with the glasses on. We bought him those Paw Patrol sunglasses at Target on Friday, and I kid you not, I don't think he's taken them off since. As you can see, he still has them on and is wearing those proudly. So I'm going to ask Charlie Stevenson, where are you at, buddy? Come on up here, man. You guys don't know Charlie. Charlie is kind of does two things. He's our worship pastor here. He leads worship for us week in and week out and leads the folks up here on stage, and he does a fantastic job with that. We're very proud of Charlie and what he's doing and how God is using him. But what you may not know about Charlie is that he is also the camp manager at Camp Rudolph down in Yale, Virginia. And summertime, of course, is a very, very busy time for him, and it's a very stressful time. And this summer in particular has been challenging. It's been stressful. It's been difficult. I know you've run into some obstacles and hurdles. And oftentimes when things like that happen, you know, we can get down, we get discouraged. I know that Charlie has often been down and discouraged this summer already. And sometimes we can, you know, look at the enemy and think, man, he is just wearing me down. But what I want to encourage Charlie with this morning, what I want to encourage you with this morning is that we serve a God who is so much greater and bigger. And I'm going to tell you, man, even though he's experienced some hurdles this summer already, man, God is doing some great work at the camp through the staff and through the workers. And, man, he is doing some good things, and we see the fruit of that. And so I just wanted us to just encourage Charlie this morning and pray for him. So would you guys join me as we pray for Charlie? Father God, And Melissa. I don't want to leave Melissa out, so she's back there as well. But Melissa is just as much a part of this as Charlie. I did not mean to leave her out, man. I failed. Don't tell her. Okay. All right. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. And God, I know that Charlie has just, God, you have called him and Melissa and his family to this ministry. And we just thank you for their heart for camp ministry. We thank you for their dedication to it. God, even with limited resources, they give everything they have to it for your glory. And we just thank you for that. God, we thank you that he gives time to the ministry here at Chester. God, as we strive to make much of you here. And so, God, I just pray just a blessing on him and his family. God, I pray that you will just encourage them as they are at the halfway point of summer camp. God, we know that it's been difficulties up to this point. But we also know, God, that you are bigger and you are greater and you are more powerful than the enemy. And so, God, we just rest in that. We know that that you are going to continue to do good things at Camp Rudolph. And so, God, I just pray that as they move throughout the rest of this summer, that you will just encourage Charlie and Melissa and the staff there, that you will just help them to rest in you and know, God, that you are greater and that you're just going to do some amazing things. And so, God, we believe that and we hold on to that. And I just pray for them. I pray for them as they start a new week today, that you will just give them peace and encouragement, God, knowing that you are sovereign and that you're in control. And God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, buddy. Yep. I tell you, man, camp was huge for me in my life. Growing up, I went to church camp and played a big role in my walk with Jesus. And so I'm a huge fan of camp. If you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and open those up to the Old Testament book of Psalms. We're going to continue in our Summer in the Psalms series. Psalm 23 is where we're going to be today. The words will be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you, or you can share with someone beside you. That'll be fine. Psalm 23. I'm going to pray for us before we read the scripture together. Father, again, we just come before you and we thank you for just the opportunity that we have to come together this morning. And I pray now, God, as we come to your word, as we come to this Psalm 23, God, it's a psalm that is very familiar to a lot of people. And I just pray, God, that as we walk through this psalm, that you will just move in this place. God, your spirit would fill this place and that you would move. And God, that we would see just how good and beautiful you are and what you have done for us, God. And we would see our need for you. God, that's my prayer this morning, that your spirit would just move and just break down any walls or barriers that might be in our way, God, from seeing this. And so, God, I just pray that you would move and that you would work as we read your word and as we study your word together. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 23, I'm reading from the ESV. Oh, wait, there you go. All right, get the lights back up so you guys can see the words. David writes these words, King David. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Outside of John 3:16, I would say that Psalm 23 is probably one of the most popular passages in the Bible. Would you agree? I would venture to say that it has been read, that it has been quoted, that it has been inscribed on sympathy cards and t-shirts and coffee mugs more times than any other verse in Scripture. It's been said that Psalm 23 is so simple that a child could grasp it, and yet it is so deep that theologians, people who study the Bible, could actually drown in Psalm 23. It is that deep. There have been countless books written just on Psalm 23. And what's amazing is that this psalm that was written over 3,000 years ago still brings comfort, hope, and encouragement to millions of God's people during difficult times. Now, the author of the psalm is King David, and he was a king. But before he was a king, he was a shepherd boy. And I don't know if you know that much about David, but David knows a thing or two about being a shepherd, and he knows a thing or two about sheep. So most likely, David is writing this psalm during a time of his life where it would have been very difficult days. For those of you who, again, don't know much about David, he spends a lot of his life, especially his early life, running for his life, because the first king of Israel, King Saul, was just a bad dude, and he wanted to kill David. He was jealous of David, and so King Saul tries to kill David, and so David is running for his life. David lost his best friend, Jonathan, which was King Saul's son, in a battle against the Philistines, and so Jonathan was killed, and so David lost his best friend. David also lost a child that he had with Bathsheba. And if you don't know who Bathsheba is, it was the woman that he had an adulterous affair with and then had her husband killed. And so the baby from that adultery died. He lost that child. Another son of David's, his name was Absalom. If you don't know much, again, about David, Absalom was one of his sons who tried to overtake David's throne. Like he rose up and rebelled against David, and so David again is fleeing for his life, and David raises up men. His men go after Absalom, and David says, "Please, please do not harm my son Absalom." And of course, they do. Absalom ends up dying, and then David, the scripture says he mourned deeply. He mourned deeply for Absalom. And so I say all that to say that David was not foreign to grief. He was not foreign to pain or discouragement. And so Psalm 23, what it does is it kind of reflects these trials and these difficult days that David goes through. And the reality for us this morning is that as long as we are living on this side of heaven, we will all experience difficult days. Right, I mean, I just talked about Charlie and his difficult days that he's experienced this summer at camp. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where we are broken by sin. And there are people who do evil things. And so we all, at some point, will experience pain or suffering or grief or difficulty. And so the question I want to explore this morning is what is it about this psalm that has provided so many followers of Jesus with this hope and encouragement as they have walked through difficult times? Right? How can we, as followers of Jesus, be prepared like David to walk with confidence and encouragement and comfort and hope through these difficult times? And so what I would like to do over the next few minutes is I would like to share kind of four things that our shepherd does for us that I pray will encourage you and comfort you this morning. Now, I want to give a little side note. I'm kind of proud of myself this week because all four things start with a P. I did an alliteration this week. All right? My preaching professor in Bible college would be very proud of me. I hope he listens to this sermon someday. And maybe I'll get an A that I didn't get in preaching class. But anyway, so they all start with P, so I'm excited about that. And I think this is the first time I've done that since preaching class. But anyways, so the first thing that we see here is that our shepherd is personal. This is, again, man, I just want to ask you to just think about these things. This is powerful stuff. David starts the psalm with these words. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, that is fascinating because when you look at the Psalms, when you look at the whole Old Testament as a whole, you see a strong emphasis on community, right? God is forming a people. He is forming the people of Israel, God's children, to himself, the people of God. Other Psalms that speak of the Lord as shepherd all speak of our shepherd or the shepherd of Israel. It's plural. But this is the only psalm that teaches us to call on the Lord, my shepherd, my shepherd. Notice how many times you see the first person pronoun throughout this psalm, right? My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I went through and I counted 16 times. And you may go back and count more, I don't know. But that David uses the first person pronoun in this psalm. And again, the picture is that the Lord is not just a shepherd. He's not just the shepherd. But the picture is that he is my shepherd, that he is your shepherd. I mean, this makes it very personal and intimate. Your shepherd, listen to me, your shepherd knows you. The God of the universe, think about this for a second, the God of the universe who spoke the world into existence, who just said, you know what, let there be light, let there be this, and let there be that. The God of the universe who has that kind of power knows you personally. Right? Our God is not a God that created everything and then just kind of disengages and sits back and says, well, let's just see how all this unfolds. That's not who our God is. Our God is intimately aware of every single detail of your life. Psalm 139 says that our God knows us personally. He knit you in your mother's womb. He puts you together. He knows everything about you. It says in the New Testament that every hair on your head is numbered. God knows you intimately. He knows you personally. And what's challenging for us is that when we experience difficult times, when we go through circumstances in life that challenge our faith, man, we can feel very lonely, can't we? I can be a very lonely place. Even when we have people all around us, they don't know exactly what we are experiencing because every single situation, every single circumstance is different. Right? That they're not in the inner recesses of your mind and heart as you are thinking and as you are wrestling with these things that you are going with. And what David says is even though you may feel lonely in those times of your life, he says, you are not. Because the Lord your God, your shepherd, is personal. He is with you, right? He knows you. He knows your heart. He is aware. Secondly, we see that our shepherd provides. So not only is he personal, but our shepherd provides for us. Now David says, I shall not want. And that's a fascinating statement because it literally means, I shall not lack. And that's a profound statement because, listen, when you usually go through a difficult time, when you're experiencing a circumstance in life, or you are suffering, it's usually a product of lack in our lives, is it not? Right? When you go through a time of grief, you're experiencing lack in your life because you've lost someone. Someone that you miss, there's lack there. They're not there anymore. You want them to be there. When you struggle physically with illness or pain, there's lack there. There's lack of good health. When you are walking through difficult times relationally, there's lack there because there is a void that is missing. Right? There's a lack of harmony with that relationship that you desire to have. And so, think about David, right? David lost a child. He lost two kids. He lost a best friend. I mean, he experienced grief. How can David say that he does not lack? Well, if you're familiar with a book right before the book of Psalms, the book of Job, right? The story of Job. Job, in the very first chapter, it's a great chapter. But he experiences great loss. And basically what happens is Job is a very wealthy man, a very blessed man. And it's a very interesting scene because Satan actually approaches God. And they have this conversation between the two of them. And Job says, listen, God, the only reason that Job is serving you, the only reason that Job loves you is because of all these things that you've given him. I mean, you've blessed him beyond measure. See, that's a false lie, right? That's a lie that Satan wants us to believe is that we only love God if he gives us things, right? And God's like, no, you can go ahead, do whatever you'd like there, just don't harm my servant Job. And so in that first chapter, Job loses everything. I mean, he's lacking his children, everything he owns, it's gone. And at the end of chapter 1, it says that Job falls down in worship to the Lord. And he says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the beauty of what we see kind of unfold in the rest of the book of Job is this. And you got to hear this, okay? Even if we lack, or we seem like we lack, the Lord is still providing for us. He is still providing. Yes, we might experience lack when we are in grief, but the Lord is always providing peace. Amen? We might experience hurt, but the Lord is providing healing. We may experience weakness, but the Lord is providing strength, right? Right. Charlie may be experiencing weakness right now, but I can tell you right now that the Lord is providing strength for him and his family. Your shepherd never stops providing for you because a good shepherd is all the sheep needs. Since a good shepherd, by his nature, will always supply all the sheep's needs. That's what God does. He provides these things for us. David continues. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's such a beautiful picture there. I don't know if you know this or not, but sheep will not lie down. Sheep are kind of dumb animals, by the way. And if you weren't aware of this, we are oftentimes compared to sheep in the Bible. Just so you know. Just throwing that out there to you, okay? And so sheep will not lie down when they are hungry. And yet our shepherd, it says, he makes me lie down, and not just anywhere, but in green pastures. The green pastures means there's lots of food. Right? He leads me beside still waters. Again, I don't know if you know this or not, but sheep will not, they fear moving water and will not drink from any stream or lake unless the water is perfectly still. See, your shepherd, my shepherd, leads us beside still waters. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Our shepherd provides rest for us. And in the God of the universe, by his grace, is providing all that we need. And this is so important, man, because oftentimes, again, Satan wants to discourage you. When you're going through a difficult time, when you're experiencing circumstances, Satan wants to discourage you, and he wants you to believe that God is not providing for you, that you're lacking, that God is holding out on you. He wants you to believe that you can't trust God. And that was the picture in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, man, when Satan comes and he tempts Adam and Eve. What does Satan do? He tries to paint this picture, right? He comes to Adam and Eve and he says, did God really say that you couldn't eat from this tree? He says, the reason why God doesn't want you to eat from this tree is because God knows that if you eat from this tree, you'll be just like him. God's holding out on you. God's not providing for you. That's what Satan wants to do, man. He wants to discourage you. He wants to get you down. He wants you to believe that God is not providing for you when in actuality God is providing all that we need. Man, we live in a society that is constantly bombarding us with messages that we need this, that we need that. And what David is saying is that, man, we have that God is our shepherd. We have everything we need. Our shepherd fulfills every single desire for our heart and soul. All right, he goes on, he says, our shepherd also provides for our spiritual need. David says, this is so good, he says, he restores my soul. Right, our shepherd renews and he sustains my life. This is such a beautiful picture here, because what he's saying is your shepherd delights in taking what is broken and restoring it. I mean, this one line here is the central message of the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, and that's the central message, is that that God created us in his image, and that because of our sin, because of our rebellion, we have fallen short of God's glory. And so the rest of the Bible is about God kind of chasing after us, and wanting to restore us back to himself, wanting to reconcile us back to him. That's the message of the whole Bible. And this is what he says. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. By his grace, God provides his sheep with his word. Right? And the word of God has the power to restore you, because the Word of God shows us who we are. The Word of God shows us who God is, and it shows us that we fall short and that we need him. Has the power to restore. He leads me in right paths. And this is the beautiful thing about it, man, is that God is doing all the work. Do you notice that in the passage, right? He doesn't say, well, the Lord is my shepherd, and with my help, he makes me lie down in green pastures, right? And with my help, he leads me with still. No, God is doing all the work, right? He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. Like, we're not doing anything. God takes the initiative in providing for us. And what David is saying is that your shepherd can be trusted. Your shepherd has never done you harm, and he will not do you harm. And he emphasizes this by saying at the end of verse 3 that the reason that God does all of these things is for his name's sake. God is very passionate about his own glory. I mean, you can read throughout the Bible, and the Bible says God is passionate about his glory. And so because God is passionate about his glory, he is passionate about his reputation. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He can be trusted. You can take it to the bank. He's going to do that. And so the good news for us, man, is that it shows us that God is not only committed to his own glory, but he is committed to your good. He is committed to your good. The shepherd provides. Third, we see that our shepherd is always present. And because he is always present, we have nothing to fear. Look at verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, there is a subtle significance here in the psalm, if you notice closely in verse 4, because up to this point, David has been using the third person pronoun, right? He leads me. He makes me lie down. But here he uses a second person pronoun. It's kind of more personal, right? He says, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so up to this point, right, that David has been talking about God. And then after verse 3, he goes into verse 4, it kind of turns into a cry for God. And that makes sense, right? I mean, if you think about it, right, when we are in green pastures, when we're lying beside still waters, right, things are good. It's good and right to talk about the grace and mercy of God and how good He is. But when we find ourselves in the midst of the deep, dark valley, this valley of the shadow of death, it makes more sense, doesn't it, to cry out to God? To cry out to Him? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they are protection. They provide for me. I need you, is what David is saying. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear, for your shepherd is present. I've had the privilege of seeing this in people's lives over the years, and just the faith that they have because they know that their shepherd is present with them, even in the valley of the shadow of death. And two men in particular that I want to share with you, the recent. One of them is Glenn Long. And Glenn and his wife Shelby, members here for the last year, a little over a year now, I believe it's been. And I'll never forget their first Sunday here. I walk up and I introduce myself, and Glenn is talking to me, and he's got a suit on. He may have even had a hat on, or had a hat in his hand. And then we were talking. He says, I think you know my son. My son is Chris. And I said, yeah, I do know your son. And so we got to talking a little bit there. His son is a minister down in Charlottesville area. And in that opening conversation, Glenn shared with me that he was dying of cancer. And I kind of was like, okay. Yeah, I didn't know what to say there. I kind of took me off by surprise, but that's what he shared. And I tell you, man, as time went on, as Glenn and Shelby began coming to Chester Christian Church, as they began to continue to live out their faith, it was just amazing to see Glenn and what God was doing in his life. Listen, Glenn could have easily, knowing that he was dying, could have gone into a shell and just, you know, been away from everybody, right? He could have easily done that. He could have easily just said, you know what, I'm gonna feel sorry for myself, and I'm just gonna, you know, mope around. But that's not what Glenn did. Glenn continued to grow in his faith and in his love and affection for Jesus, and it was amazing to see. He continued to serve. He continued to participate in Bible studies. And listen, I know because I've heard the stories of the men that he has impacted over the last year of his life. I mean, I just go talk to Royal Peters. That dude will tell you, man, Glenn had a huge impact on this because of this right here, that even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Glenn was confident that his shepherd was present. And what's amazing to me, man, is that even during the last week of Glenn's life, I mean, he was here the Sunday, two Sundays before, he went to go be with Jesus, and he walked through those doors, and you could tell he wasn't feeling well, man, but he was here. And his desire still wasn't about, man, feel sorry for me, but his, like, man, my sister-in-law, Vicky, needs to come to the Lord Jesus. And that funeral service, man, was just an awesome service because his sister-in-law, Vicky, was baptized. And it was just an amazing thing, man. And I think about that, and I think, man, I hope I have that kind of faith. I hope I can be, you know, that even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, man, that I will fear no evil because I am confident that my shepherd is present, that he is with me. I also think about Polly Toll. It's a gentleman that a lot of you may not know. If you've been here at Chester Christian Church for a long time, you may remember the Toll family. They attended here several years ago. And this past January, Polly, who is 45 years old, wasn't feeling well. It was during that big snowstorm. He'd kind of gone out, shoveled snow, and he wasn't feeling well. And he went to the doctors, and they said, you know what, you have pneumonia. So several weeks went by, but Polly wasn't getting well. And then they began to tell him, well, you know, maybe it's just allergies. And finally, they did some testing, and they discovered that Polly had a mass on his liver. And at first, they thought that they could do surgery, but once they kind of looked, the doctors said, no, we can't do that, and actually the cancer has now spread to your lungs, and there's nothing that we can do for you. Now, here's a man that's 45 years old. He's got five kids. Youngest kid, I think, is five, maybe. And you're told that there's nothing that the doctors can do. They didn't give him a timeline. They didn't say, you've got this much time. But all of this started back in January. He was diagnosed, I think it was March sometime. And he died this couple weeks ago. But here's what's amazing. Here's what his wife, Rebecca, shared in a blog that we've read. As Polly sat across from the doctors, when they shared this news, the doctor looked at Polly and said, Polly, are you scared? Or are you scared, Polly, that you might go to sleep one night and not wake up? And Polly looked at the doctors and said, no, I'm not scared because I know that my God is with me. I know that I will be in heaven. Can you imagine that? They asked him again. They said, Polly, are you concerned about your family? And Polly said, no, I'm not concerned because I know we've got a great network around us. I know we've got Christian friends and family who will take care of my family. And that's a man who walks through the valley of the shadow of death, and he fears no evil because he knows that his shepherd is with him. And again, just like Glenn, Polly's concern wasn't about him, but his concern was about his friends who didn't know Jesus. He actually had his wife, Rebecca, drive him to his co-worker's house just so he could share Jesus with them. That's a man who is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he fears no evil because he knows that his shepherd is present. Let's move on to the last thing here. Your shepherd is not only personal, he always provides, he is always present with us, but finally, your shepherd pursues you with his love. David says in verse 6, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that word follow is probably not the best translation to use in this verse. Because when you think about follow, you think about someone that is kind of lagging behind, right? Right? When you watch the TV shows and they're following somebody, they don't want to be seen, right? So they're kind of lagging far behind and they're following somebody. That's kind of what we think about when we hear the word follow. But this is not what follow in Psalm 23 means. Listen to me. And listen to me good here, okay? This follow means this is an active pursuit. This isn't a lagging behind, but this is an active pursuit. I don't know how else to say this to you. Just a couple of things here, okay? Like when I was dating my wife, I was not following her. I was not lagging behind, okay? Right? It was an active pursuit. Right? It was every time she turned around, I'm there. You know what I mean? It was active pursuit. Have you guys ever seen the cartoon Tom and Jerry? Great classic cartoon, right? You know how Tom and Jerry are always, Tom is always after Jerry. Everywhere Jerry turns, Tom is there, right? Tom is not lagging behind. He's not following Jerry. He is like actively pursuing Jerry, right? This is what this psalm is saying, that God is actively, listen to me, pursuing you. Surely his goodness and mercy is pursuing you. It's not lagging behind, because listen, isn't that oftentimes how it feels in difficult times? right? We think about God's goodness and His mercy, and we think, man, it's back there somewhere, right? It's lagging behind somewhere. Where are you? But no, His goodness and mercy, they are pursuing you at every single moment. And what's awesome about this, listen, man, is that it's not goodness and mercy pursuing you because there's something in you to draw goodness and mercy towards you. This is very important to hear this. That's why it's called mercy. Right? You and I, listen, you and I have absolutely nothing to do with this. We cannot earn or merit this. In fact, in Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, chapter 53, verse 6, again, it's talking about us as sheep, and it says that we are all like sheep. We have all gone astray. We have all rebelled against God. We have all turned to our own way. Everyone, every single person has done this, right? We are all prone to wonder. We are all prone to turn away. When things are good, listen to me, we are prone to wonder. When things are bad, we are prone to wonder. And yet, even in our wondering, even when we have turned away, even when we have rebelled against our shepherd, listen to me, your shepherd has shown himself faithful time and time again. He is pursuing you with a relentless love. How do we know this? How can we be confident of this? How do we know that what David is saying here in this psalm is true? That God is personal, that God provides, that He is present, that He is pursuing us with His love. How can we be sure of that today? When you're sitting in here and you're thinking, man, Aaron, I just don't know about this. I'm struggling. In the New Testament, Gospel of John, Jesus is very intentional about identifying Himself with the Yahweh, the God of Israel, of the Old Testament. Right? Remember in Exodus, Moses says, "Who do I tell them sent me?" when he's going into Pharaoh, into Egypt. And God says, "You tell them I am sent you." That's God's name. It's Yahweh. It's God's name. And so Jesus is very intentional. In the Gospel of John, He's constantly making statements throughout John. He says, "I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." In John 8:58, He said, before Abraham was born in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, Jesus says, "I am." Jesus is identifying Himself with God. He says, "I am the great I am." And in John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus brings Psalm 23 to light. Jesus said, and I read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep." He scatters. And the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." We have that personal relationship with each other. "Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again," is what Jesus says. Listen to me. This is how you know that God is pursuing you. Because the Lord, our shepherd, sent His one and only Son to lay down His life for our sins. He demonstrates His great love for us, that while we were sheep, wandering, prone to wander, prone to turn away, that as we were sinners, turning away from God, rebelling against Him, that our shepherd sent His Son to lay down His life to pay the penalty for our sins so that He could do what? Restore us. So that He could reconcile us. This is how you know that your shepherd is pursuing you. Is He your shepherd? Does your shepherd know you personally and intimately? Do you know that He is pursuing you? And that's what I want to encourage you with today. Man, if you're here and you're like, man, I can't grasp that. Man, the things that I've done in my life, I just can't imagine that God would forgive me and love me. Listen to me. He is pursuing you. You are here for a reason. God is pursuing you. This past week was a tough week for me as well. Tuesday afternoon, I had come home to do something. I can't even remember what I was doing. And I just happened to get on Facebook just for a minute. I was just going to kind of just check things out. And I see a friend of mine that I went to school with who was a few years behind me. I knew him best because he played football. And I'm starting to read this post that he has written. And as I'm reading this post, I'm sitting there thinking, this is insane. Is this really happening right now? And basically what it was is it was a suicide. It was his suicide note. He had just written this post like 3 hours before I read it. And I'm sitting there, and it's like already like 300 comments under this, like, you know, don't do this, you know, call for help. You know, the people are trying to reach out to him. And I'm sitting there thinking, surely this didn't happen. And then I see it did. He did it. And I was just like stunned. Like the rest of the day, I'm like, I can't even do anything. I start calling some of my buddies back home. I'm like, is this real? Did this happen? And the reason why I share that with you is because, listen, so many people, like my friend, who think that there is absolutely no way out, who are in hopeless situations right now, who are going through difficult times, who think, man, there's absolutely no way that I can get out of this circumstance. And I want you to know, man, that your shepherd is pursuing you. That He cares for you. And if you're here today and you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus, man, I want to encourage you to do that today. You can know Him personally. You can confess Jesus as Lord. You can repent of your sins. We can baptize you right here. And you can know that your shepherd, you can know your shepherd personally. If you're here, man, and you've just been struggling, you've kind of walked away, you just don't have that intimacy anymore, and we want to pray with you. We want to encourage you this morning. And so that's what we're going to do, man. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. I'm going to ask prayer team members to come up. If you're on a prayer team, you can come up front or you can be in the back. We have prayer team members in the back as well if you don't want to come up front. But I just want to invite you to come, man. Just be encouraged this morning. Whatever it is that you're going through, I want you to know, man, that your shepherd cares and He's pursuing you. So let's pray together, and then we're going to sing this song and respond. Father, we just come to You again, and we thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You for David and his psalm that just is so powerful. Father, I don't know what everyone is going through right now. I know that every single person here has got something on their plate that they are experiencing. And God, I just pray right now that You would just move in their hearts, God, that You would just speak to them, God, that You would reveal Yourself to them, God, that You would show them that You are their shepherd and that You are pursuing them. God, there's nothing that we can say or do. God, Your Spirit has to move. God, help us to see our need for You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.